Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Why don't you open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the title of our message today is Love and Communion Inseparable. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, you are love. And Lord, as we examine ourselves today, we see that we fall very far short of that expectation. But Lord, you are kind and generous and holy and merciful, and you have provided a way for us to be restored to a relationship with you. And Lord, our desire now is to draw near to you. We pray you draw us close. By the Holy Spirit, speak to us, Lord. Show us what you would have us do and how we can love like you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Great Controversy, page 498, it says this. Even when it was decided that he could no longer remain in heaven, infinite wisdom did not destroy Satan. Since the service of love can alone be acceptable to God, the allegiance of his creatures must rest upon a conviction of his justice and his benevolence. The inhabitants of heaven and of other worlds, being unprepared to comprehend the nature or consequences of sin, could not then have seen the justice and mercy of God in the destruction of Satan. Had he immediately blotted him from existence, they would have served God from fear rather than from love. God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Isn't that good news, brothers and sisters? God is love. I remember so many years ago when I first gave my heart to Jesus. All of a sudden, I had a love that I had not known before. I thought that I loved my wife. I thought that I loved my children, that I loved others. But when selfishness was removed from the picture, the light of love came shining through. You have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look with me at verse 1. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. He's speaking to us. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." A person can have the power of utterance that is found in the most gifted of orators. A person can speak in many different languages. They can speak with the tongues and with the eloquence of angels. But if they have not love, they are nothing but a noisemaker. Look with me at verse 2. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing." as Paul is listing the possible possession of the greatest of all spiritual gifts, the gift of prophecy, the gift of wisdom and knowledge, and all faith, he says that these are outstanding and greatly to be desired spiritual gifts. But if I have them and do not have love, it is meaningless. It is empty. All of these admirable gifts, as important as they are, without love, they're no good. The same is true of the acquired gifts, like intellect. You know that Satan has great intellectual power. He is wiser than all of the wisest of all of humankind. His knowledge surpasses all of that that the greatest of us has. But it has not elevated him. Therefore, it should be obvious to us that just an intellectual assent is not enough. If it is not combined with love, there is nothing there. And it only has one purpose, and that is to achieve the ends of the enemy. It does nothing for the spiritual help of others. Love is an action word, isn't it? Love promotes community and freedom simultaneously. Look with me in verse 4. Paul tells us that love suffers long and is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love is the foundation of God's character and His government. Did you notice that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that it doesn't say that God expresses love or that God has attained love, but it says God is love. Brothers and sisters, God and love are inseparable. And I want to suggest to you this morning that love and communion are inseparable. John chapter 3, verse 16 is the most famous verse in all of the Bible. We all know it by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. God is love. And God created man in His own image and in His own likeness. Man is the pinnacle of creation. And God's love. God is righteous, holy, perfect in all of His ways, in all of His attributes. And in order for God to have a relationship with you, His requirement for you is that you be holy, righteous, perfect. And God had told Adam and Eve that on the day that they disobey, they would surely die. Excuse me. God said that to them knowing that they were going to fail. But you see, brothers and sisters, God knew that man would fail, and love would not allow man to deal with his sin by himself. I'd like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Go back just one book to the left. Romans chapter 8. And notice what it says in verse 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And God became flesh and walked among us. God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. And so He gave. Love gives. And He gave His only begotten Son. He gave it all for you. He took our sinful nature upon Himself so that you might be a partaker of His righteousness. God's requirement was that you would be perfect. But because Adam and Eve sinned, we are all born sinners. Our sin has separated us from God. We cannot save ourselves. But because He paid your penalty for you, He laid down His life for you, you can be restored to that relationship. You can put on His righteousness and commune with the God of love. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. We've already looked at the Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 16, which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish." And 1 John chapter 3 verse 16 confirms that by saying to us, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And so love and communion are inseparable. Go back with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Jesus is speaking. And He says in verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for a friend." Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the personification of love. "Even yet while you were enemies, He laid down His life for you." Paid a penalty that you cannot pay. And on that night of His betrayal, He became the Paschal Lamb. Type had met anti-type. All of those sacrifices were pointing forward to the Lamb of God that would come and be sacrificed for you and me. And on the evening of the Last Supper, He instituted the communion service, and love and communion became forever inseparable. And what did it say in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16? By this we know love, that He laid down His life for you. And we should do the same thing, that we would lay down our lives for each other. And notice what Jesus said here in John 15. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so today we celebrate communion. Communion with the one who is love, who displayed that love by dying for you, yet while you were enemies. You know, it's one thing to lay down your life for a friend, for a loved one, but He laid down His life for you while you were the enemy of God. Brothers and sisters, what amazing love. Love and communion, inseparable. God wants to restore that relationship with you. He has gone to prepare a place for you. He promised us that He's coming again. Coming again to receive you unto Himself. Never to be separated again. Brothers and sisters, do you want that for yourself? Is it the desire of your heart to be with Him? Never to be separated again. Of the communion service He instituted and said, do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of the sacrifice that I have made for you until I come again. One day we will never be separated again, but in the meantime, we have love and communion with Him. We can rejoice as we partake of communion today. Let's pray. O loving Father, Lord, it's so amazing that You would empty the bank accounts of heaven, that You would give up everything to come and save a wretch like me. Oh Lord, help us to be grateful. We can't buy it, we can't deserve it, we can't even earn it. It is a gift, and we receive that gift from You. Lord, help us to rejoice in all that You have done for us. And Lord, help us to commune with You. Draw us close, Lord, because You tell us that we can't draw close to You unless You first draw us. And so we're praying and asking that You will draw us close. Help us to hear Your voice. Help us to commune with You today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.